This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, February 25th, 2022. I'm Mark Boulanger. In the report this week, a union call to help African workers get vaccinated, the right-wing attack on unions in India, the Labour Start report about union events, and singing.
When the union's inspiration through the workers' blood shall run, there can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong.
This is Radio Labour. There are 1.3 billion people in Africa. Only about 11% of them have been vaccinated against the effects of COVID-19. Meanwhile, the European Union is withholding vaccines from the continent, vaccines which will soon expire. To find out why this is happening, I talked to Sani Baba. Mr. Baba is the Regional Secretary for Africa and Arab Countries for the Global Union Public Services International, the PSI. I reached Mr. Baba in Nigeria and asked him about the situation in Africa and about the EU's withholding of vaccines.
In Africa, we do not have enough vaccine supply, and also for the vaccination of the entire people. So it is estimated that over 250,000 people have died in Africa since the beginning of the COVID, and almost 7,000 a day. Due to low vaccine supplies, we have over 11,365,000 infections. About 11% of the people have received their first jab, which is very clear to show that more than 80% of the population are yet to receive their first dose. We are very much affected, and it's very worrisome.
Why is the withholding of soon-to-expire vaccines by the EU happening?
We have many African countries that do not actually have the facilities to keep these vaccines safely. So really, I think this could be probably due to the reasons why they felt it necessary to actually withhold some of them. Instead of supplying them to Africa, they decided to actually waste them, something like that. So really, this could be the reason attributed because of these factors.
The international labor movement has been arguing that one of the ways to help Africa and other regions that are struggling to get enough vaccines is to implement a TRIPS waiver. What is a TRIPS waiver?
First and foremost, we should understand what the TRIPS actually stand for people to understand before we move even to the waiver. This is a business term. It stands for trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights. So these are property rights kept only to the European Union and other countries outside the EU. And then, of course, when you are talking about a waiver, you are now talking about waiving certain rights so that if these rights are waived, Africa will have the right to produce its own vaccines. Then we have also other regulations waived so that at least Africa can move faster in also taking care of some of its needs, like a provision of face masks and other protective gear. So this is actually what we're talking about. And the TRIPS waiver also has the potential to clear the pathway for other health technologies for the COVID. And also beyond the COVID, we also have other diseases like malaria, Ebola, Lassa fever, and even polio. So these are the rights that really we in Africa are calling for them to be waived so that we have the right and also the ability to manufacture some of these vaccines.
What do you think countries and the European Union should do to help Africa?
Well, they should do everything possible to support and also implement a global roadmap to fully vaccinate 70% of the people by mid-2022, that's by mid of this year. Then they should also be able to minimize the production of safe and effective vaccines and other COVID-related products by suspending relevant intellectual property rules and ensuring that the mandatory pooling of all COVID-19-related knowledge are also waived to enable all countries actually manufacture some of these vaccines. So these are the things we need. We also need investment, public financing to support some of this infrastructure that are already ailing in the region. And then, of course, we need more supplies, these vaccines, to be able to take care of the people. So these are the few things that we really needed the EU to do. We have also had the outcome of the meeting between the EU and the AU that just finished last week. And there are very many promises. They want to invest more, like about 150 billion euro in the continent, and also to supply about 450 million vaccines by probably middle of this year, and also to allow about six African countries to start manufacturing these vaccines.
Since the 2014 election of the right-wing government of Narendra Modi in India, the labor movement in the country has been under severe attack. In a recent webinar organized by the Trades Union Congress in the UK, the General Secretary of the TUC, Francis O'Grady, interviewed a prominent Indian labor activist about the situation.
Our final speaker, last but definitely not least, is Gautam Modi, who is... I believe you were a former trade union organizer, officer in a metalworking factory, and you are now the general secretary of India's new trade union initiative. This is an initiative, an organization that unites unions and workers from across both the formal and the informal sectors. And I know that you're fresh from a year-long struggle to fight and win for farm workers. So over to you, Gautam.
Greetings from India, greetings from the NTUI. This month will be 70 years when we elected our first government, 5 years after we won independence. That was considered then an extraordinary achievement for a country as poor and as divided as ours. And today we're faced actually with the annihilation of that very democracy we struggled for nearly a century for and have spent 70 years trying to build. We face an attack on every kind of right and basic human rights, so the right to freedom of speech, the right to freedom of religion, the right to association. In 2019, the far right Hindu majoritarian BJP came back to government with a complete majority of parliamentary majority of its own. Days after they came back, they virtually wrote down our Minimum Wage Act, creating a floor wage below the minimum wage. In September 2020, in the space of 4 days, four parliamentary days, having expelled virtually all opposition MPs from parliament, the BJP implemented three laws that govern farming in the country, which would effectively disband local farmer markets, pass on the unequivocal right for large corporates to buy farm produce, and take over land holdings of middle and small farmers, not just rendering them without their livelihoods, but throwing off farm labor in the tens of millions from those farms. Having done this in the second batch of those 2 days, they brought in what they call the labor codes on industrial relations, on health and safety and social security, virtually writing down everything that we had achieved. It's perhaps instructive in our history that we won our right to form trade unions under British rule in 1926. And 100 years down the road, or almost 100 years down the road, we've virtually lost our right to form trade unions. Importantly, what we've lost, which was the big victory of the decade of the 1920s, both in Britain and here and elsewhere in the world, is the civil immunity from trade union action that we've enjoyed. That's something that's gone out of the window. We've always had a very degraded right to strike. We've lost that completely. Farmers from in and around the hinterland of Delhi, especially the Punjab, did stand up and fight. It was a concentrated fight from one region, of one community of farmers, that was able to build solidarity across the country and bring to bear the solidarity of the working class movement.
Here with his report about union events is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
This week, our top stories section can be divided into two parts. Those stories we were tracking before Russia invaded Ukraine and those after. Early in the week, we were celebrating victories like the one that Haitian workers have been literally dying for in the past weeks, a 54% increase in that country's minimum wage. And we were preparing for events like the Global Day of Solidarity with Colombian workers threatened with assassination because of their union activism. Since the invasion, our top story section has little that isn't Ukraine-related. We have statements from Ukrainian and Russian unions, from the Global Union Federations, the International Trade Union Confederation, and from national unions around the globe and in many languages. On a personal and organizational note, we at Labor Start are keeping our 18 comrades who live and work in Ukraine in our thoughts. Even as the Russian army rolled into their country, those Labor Start volunteers continued to post union news on our website, including important statements from Ukrainian unions. Stay safe, comrades. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found details of a union victory in the fight for pregnant workers' rights in the United Kingdom. South African sex workers who are organizing for occupational safety, and the huge pay equity victory won this week by the union representing women footballers in the United States. A small sample of the stories appearing on our health and safety page and Newswire this week included calls for the protection of media workers from journalists' unions around the world. A quick look at our site makes it clear that Latin America is currently especially dangerous for journalists, with several having been assassinated in just the last week. We also had items about the stabbing of two Toronto public transport workers last week and an announcement by their union that it is launching a national campaign in Canada aimed at ending workplace violence for transit workers. And we had to bring you stories about the three deaths and many injuries that resulted from a factory fire this week in Bangladesh. Our photo of the week is of the announcement by Brazil's CUT, or CUT, that it is creating regional committees across the country. As the union stated in the announcement, the committees are for the purpose of struggle in defense of the working class, for life, and for democracy. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is the American folk singer Joe Glazer and friends.
When the union's inspiration through the workers' blood shall run, there can be no power greater anywhere beneath the sun. Yet what force on earth is weaker than the feeble strength of one? But the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever, solidarity forever, solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
Now they have taken untold millions, they never toil to earn, but without our brain and muscle, not a single wheel could turn. We can break their haughty power, gain our freedom when we learn that the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever, solidarity forever, solidarity forever, for the union makes us strong.
And in our hands place the power greater than their hoarded gold, greater than the might of armies magnified a thousandfold. We can bring to birth a new world from the ashes of the old, for the union makes us strong.
Solidarity forever, solidarity forever, solidarity forever.
And that's it, Labor News You Can Use. I'm Mark Boulanger. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.